also Philippians 3rd chapter, verses 3 through 6. In Galatians, in Galatians 3rd chapter, verses 13 to 14, the writer writes, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and how I advanced in Judaism by many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father." In Philippians, the 3rd chapter in verse 6, he states, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Then later, as he served Christ, and the scriptures I use for this are Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 14, and also Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 20. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Yet the range of interest among Christians often varies widely. Some are filled with zeal, as stated in 1 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, verses 2 and 3, and also 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, verses 3 and 4. The writer writes in 1 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, verses 3 and 4. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. They attend the services regularly. They are willing to make sacrifices to do the Lord's work. They study the Bible diligently. They are active in teaching and inviting others to the Lord. Others become lukewarm, as stated in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 15 through 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. They attend services sporadically. They give their physical and spiritual leftovers to the Lord. They neglect opportunities to study. They do very little personal work. Some even become cold, forsaking the Lord, as noted in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed from Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. They stop attending the services of the church altogether. They are covetous in their time and money. Their Bibles collect dust due to the lack of use. They are ashamed of the church and of the gospel of Christ. If you are interested in doing the Lord's work, what you must do is to be faithful. We shall not want to. Yeah, that's not good. That's
not good. Okay, pop that.
Do me like that. Do me like that. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks, man. Yes, ma'am. She wants to hear me? Okay. All right. Can you hear me? All right. Okay. Even in the sports world, the adage, those who don't practice won't play, is almost a universal truism. How much more so when someone wants to do the Lord's work? Support of the services is the minimum that's required. This provides a clear indication of how serious you are about the Lord's work. Plus, if you won't support the brethren who lead the other services in the Lord, in the church, you have no right to expect them to want to support you. If you're not faithful, you don't know what we do. If you're not faithful, you don't know how we do what we do. If you're not faithful, you don't know. Oops, I'm getting carried away. It's my wife's fault. She gave me some ghost peppers. Yeah. Okay. If you're not faithful, you don't know what we teach. And if you're not faithful, you don't know how we teach it. As some old guy said a long time ago, chew on that. Okay. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, not a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. In this passage, the word mysteries has reference to the spiritual truths as revealed in the gospel. Note what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 2. For my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Letting someone who is unfaithful do the work of the Lord is like casting pearls to the swine, as stated in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. They don't care that the kingdom is a treasure worthy of selling all that you have, as stated in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. They view it as something merely to be used for personal gain and discard it as you would trash. However, if you are faithful, then what else does it take to maintain interest in the Lord's work? Paul prayed for it in Colossians, the first chapter, verses 9 through 10. We find Paul praying for the Colossians, in which he mentions three things that contribute to the interest, desire, fervor, and zeal. Note that he prayed that they be filled with knowledge. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the essential meaning of knowledge is information, understanding, or skill that you get from education or experience. Also, awareness of something, the state of being aware of something. And my source for that is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Knowledge increases interest. Knowledge of a subject always increases interest in that subject. In sports, Dennis Pichette, this is for you, the more one knows, the more interested they become. The same is true with a person's hobbies. Knowledge of God's will increases interest. The Colossians bore fruit in response to their understanding of God's grace as found in Colossians, the first chapter and verse 6, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth. The more we learn of God's will, the more excited we will become, as stated in Psalms 119, verses 111, 162, and 164. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Seven times a day, I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Obtaining this knowledge requires diligence. If we are negligent, we will have to be taught all over again, as stated in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. To grow, we must always desire the word as a baby desires milk. And that's found in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The psalmist provides a good example in Psalms 119, verses 15 through 16, 97, 103, 104. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. As we return to Paul's prayer for the Colossians, we find he writes, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We know his desire that they walk worthy of the Lord. To knowledge, therefore, we must add participation. The definition of participation is the act of taking part or sharing in something. Participation increases interest. This is true in sports, for example. In sports, the difference between participants and spectators in hobbies, fishing, woodworking, sewing, etc. The more you participate, the more interest you develop, and the more you want to participate. Sitting on a bench as one who has done it is no fun. Having an opportunity to participate just makes you want to do more. Participation in God's work increases interest. There is a blessedness in doing God's will, as stated in John, the 17th chapter, verse 13, and also James, the 1st chapter, verse 25. John writes, but now I come to you, the These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. James 1st chapter, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Happiness comes to those who walk in the ways of the Lord, as stated in Psalms 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. I have to just paper turn it down. Certainly there is a happier conscience and a satisfaction in knowing that you are a doer of the word and not a hearer only, as stated in James 1st chapter, verses 22 through 24. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We need to also remember that any labor that we do for the Lord will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that leads to the third thing, Colossians 1st chapter verse 10, and that is bearing fruit, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, which leads to a heightened interest in the Lord's work, which in turn will lead to success. Success, the definition is the achievement of something desired, planned, or attempted. Amen to that. If we engage in activities without success, we will become discouraged. Failure to succeed has led many to lose interest in the Lord and various ventures, including the Lord's work. However, success in God's work increases interest. Bible study, learning the meaning of a passage, makes you want to learn more. Amen to that. Personal work, seeing someone obey the gospel makes you want to convert more. Amen to that. Personal edification, to see those you have taught growing in the Lord produces great joy. 3 John, verses 3 through 4. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen to that. Many lose interest in the Lord's work because they have never tasted the joys of success. Amen. In conclusion, if you are not interested in doing the Lord's work or have lost interest, it is likely due to a lack of these four things: faith, knowledge, participation, and success. For those willing to maintain interest in the Lord's work, Paul shares two more thoughts with us. We will not be alone in our efforts. God will work with us, as stated in Colossians, the 1st chapter, verse 11, and also Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 12 through 13. Colossians, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. For therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And we should be thankful that God has qualified us to receive the rewards in the world to come, as stated in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12. Giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the things of the life. Are you showing your gratitude to God for sending his Son to die for our sins, as noted in Romans 5 and 8, by maintaining a high level of interest in the work of the Lord? Romans 5 and 8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that would draw our lesson to a close. And we never close our lesson without offering a plan of salvation. Basically, you must hear, you must believe, you must repent, you must confess. These are found in here is Romans 10:17, so it states, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe is found in John 8:24. Jesus says, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Jesus says in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Confess. The writer writes in Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 through 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Last but not least, you must be baptized. This is found in Mark 16, verses 15 through 16. And he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. I'm wondering if you obey the gospel call while we're here, and you have the opportunity to be saved as we sing the invitation song.